Hello world, welcome to another episode of In the Middle with Mark and Miles.
In the middle. Once again.
Once again, we're back in the middle.
Okay, come on, man. You can give me a little more energy.
You know, I thought maybe
this
by this episode
this
you
Miles, yeah, you that I would bigger. Like be no. I'm old, dude.
But what you see is what you get, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But you know, things haven't changed, still in the midst of coronavirus. You know, you're getting your I Am Legend on right now, just you and your dog, pretty much, right?
Yes, exactly. That's right. I Am Legend. Hopefully my dog doesn't meet the same fate.
Oh, right. Got to snuff it out.
Yeah.
But we had a good run.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, New York seems like it's slowly coming back, but at the same time, you've seen everywhere else spiking up, so it's like...
Yeah, what I think is funny is that we're starting to slowly and come back,
mm-hmm.
which we will come back strong, but we're coming back slowly, but the rest of the world...
Right.
It's like, no, your numbers are spiking. It's time to not come to New York.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all crazy, man.
I'm ready.
I mean, the whole thing.
I'm already telling myself, just face it. We're not going to the movie this year. Just accept it now. It'll be easier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole...
Right?
That's a whole different thing. But at least we don't have Chaz anymore.
Right.
That took a minute.
And the thing is, for a long time, I didn't even understand what Chaz was. I kept hearing the phrase, Chaz.
Yeah,
Chaz.
Yeah.
And I just thought
Nobody does, really. Nobody really does, and I know it.
Right.
I know what it was, but I don't know what it was.
Right.
It was an apparition. It was...
So were they trying to be like their own little civilization within America?
I don't even know what the goal was.
Mm-hmm.
It was... it was in Seattle. There was a protesting group that was clashing with police and had been for days.
Right.
At the East Precinct, which is up in Capitol Hill. Which is a neighborhood of Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and they the mayor capitulated to the mob and gave them the East Precinct and told the police to leave.
What? That don't even make any sense.
True story, man. You can't make that shit up. You can't make that up.
Sound like something you see on HBO or something.
Yeah, exactly. You think you're watching a B movie, but it
right.
turns out that no, that's true. No,
not a Roger Corman film.
And then with their Roger Corman film, that's good. It was unfortunately the Seattle's a very progressive, have become very left
mm-hmm.
Blue state and or blue city and. One of the comments that the mayor made, which will haunt her the rest of her days, mm-hmm. was people out there looks more like a festival. And, it could be a summer of love.
Like it would stop.
Fast forward to 5 shootings and 1 death.
Right.
I think she will be paying for that politically for a very long time.
That's for sure.
But it was just insanity.
Mm-hmm.
But when there were some interviews that were done with some of the Black Lives Matter leaders in that group.
Right.
One of them, I don't remember her name, but this gives you a great insight
mm-hmm.
into what this group is about.
Right.
She, when asked, she said, "I am not here to peacefully protest. Mm-hmm. I am here to burn it down. I am here to change." And the interviewer,
mm-hmm.
who unbeknownst to her was, relatively conservative. I don't think everything about him is conservative, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
he had the balls to ask her,
mm-hmm.
"Then what?"
Right. That's a great question to ask, though.
I mean, just what's going to happen next?
Right.
Well, you see, you just don't understand. Okay, what is it I don't understand?
Mm-hmm.
You see, when we burn it all down and we abolish the police and get rid of the funding and get rid of all this stuff, all the great black minds will come together and we will figure out what the next step in our society is going to be. And yeah, I mean the interviewer, what's he going to say to that?
Right.
You know, it's like, here's a woman who's completely lost her mind. And you know, to me, I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, I think we talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, let's give this group everything they want.
Right. Then what?
Everything they want.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. You want to burn it down? No problem. Okay. You, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
What was funny is there was this meme going around about, usually in the conservative side,
mm-hmm.
About the new country of Chaz, which they ended up changing to CHOP.
Right.
So mm-hmm. Chaz was the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone.
Right, which is too radical, apparently.
Yeah, well, right. it's out of the Marxist playbook.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you grab a certain area and you push out law enforcement and or military or whoever,
mm-hmm.
and you create your own space, and then you start pushing out, trying to overtake it. It's stupid. Anyway, they started talking about, you know, when it went to CHOP, mm-hmm. which was the Capitol Hill occupied protest,
right,
is what they did. It is how they changed it because the optics were better, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which that alone should tell people
right.
something. It's like, what was that about?
Right.
But anyway, this conservative meme was about we have a new nation. Yesterday we had 195 nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have 196. Let me introduce you to the land of Chaz. They have borders, mm-hmm. which they did.
Right.
And they were, and they made those borders with armed individuals.
Right. I saw the photo.
Which is a significantly different approach to protesting.
Mm-hmm.
First time, at least for me,
mm-hmm.
that I had seen weapons involved. Firearms involved.
Right.
And I'm not talking about handguns. These
right.
guys had, most of them had either AK-47s or AR-15s.
Right.
And not to say I'm a gun nut, but I know a lot about them.
Uh-huh.
I've owned them on and off all my life. I mm-hmm. grew up with guns.
Right.
You know, I hunted as a teenager, and it wasn't really my thing,
mm-hmm.
but loved to shoot.
Right.
I mean, I just loved to shoot. I'm not so much into killing, even though I would do it if I was pressured.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, it was basically these people trying to establish themselves as this new world order.
Right.
You know? And that's frightening.
In a small city of Seattle.
Correct.
The images that I saw of Chaz, they were, to me, looked like a scene out of, like, the Book of Eli or something, where, like, a dystopian world. I was like, oh, this is how it starts.
Well, a lot of what they were showing on the liberal or left side
mm-hmm.
was everything happening during the day.
Right.
And that's not when the evil came out. The mm-hmm. evil came out at night.
Yeah, they usually do.
Because they can hide what they were doing.
Right.
And there was crime happening every night.
Right.
There were sexual assaults. There were shootings. Mm-hmm. One person died. And mainly that person died because they allowed them to bleed out because they wouldn't allow
emergency
service.
Right.
They wouldn't allow emergency services in.
Right. Insane. I didn't know until last night. Was the whole idea of, like, you know, they're a country within a country, and the American government was taking care of another country with it. Like, I didn't understand.
Well, okay, yeah. I was just going to get to that point. I'm glad you brought that up. So, in this new land of chess, they did not frown upon getting getting assistance from the American government,
right,
or the local government. So a new nation with running water, with sanitation, with electricity.
Everything given to them.
Had Wi-Fi, you know. Oh, I mean, God. They had everything given
lovely.
To them.
Lovely.
Everything given to them. Well, it is a new startup country, so they had to, you know, they needed some kind of support. But they didn't want any law enforcement.
Right.
Okay.
We want everything about your law enforcement.
Yeah, yeah. And it looked like pretty much they didn't want any law at all.
Right.
At least the criminal aspect was still there, which they always will be, regardless of what group you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you take away structure, the more that is going to build.
Sound like the Wild West.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, I'm not going there. That's a whole different discussion. But for, I just could not believe the insanity that people were going through. Sometimes you think that people are, just trying to make a point, but this went beyond that.
Right.
I mean, this went way beyond that. But again, when the leadership was talking like this of that local group, it gives you insight to what they don't want answers. Mm-hmm. They don't want solutions. Mm-hmm. They want to burn it down.
Right.
That's what they want to do. That's why they're pulling down statues.
Mm-hmm.
They're pulling down statues because what is right out of the Marxist playbook? Destroy your history and create a new one.
Right.
And this is why they pull down statues.
I was asking somebody recently about, like, you know, when it was like, oh, we got to burn it all down. I was like, well, why? We live here, you know, especially if, you know, not even if, but, you know, like I told you yesterday with the book that came before Columbus, African Americans were already in this country before slavery. So why would you want to get rid of something we already built ourselves, you know, even if we didn't get the credit? And you're like, oh, but if you had a great-grandmother who got raped on the table, why would you want to keep the table?
What?
Right. That was their.
What? My God.
And I'm just sitting here, just like, but wow. But if we built this, then why would we burn it down? It's our home. I'm telling you, that's the reasoning that they gave me.
Okay. Wow. I kind of. Okay, that's going to affect me for the rest of the day. Jeez. Talk about going dark.
Right?
It's like, do you really understand what you just said?
Right.
And like, oh, God.
But, you know, I guess they just need a justification of it
all.
Well,
of course.
You know,
of course.
Like, oh, we have to burn it. We have to get rid of it all.
So what happened? Here's another example of that. Okay. You move into a house.
Mm-hmm.
It's your first house, second house, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've established your home.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there for a little while. And then you find out that the whole family before you had been murdered there.
Right.
Are you going to leave?
Right. Are you going to burn it down?
What are the legal ramifications of that? Yeah, there are some. But are you going to pick up and move? Because as we know, buying a house ain't an easy thing.
Oh, no.
And you just put all that money into it. You've settled your family in. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're leaving.
Right.
It's one thing to have principle.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to be able to act in the real world.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't mean that you will stay there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you'll start making plans to move or get out of the house, at a point where you don't think you're going to lose a lot of money. But anyway, I mean, I think if people would put themselves in the logical position of making decisions, in reality, not just hyperbole.
Right.
Hyperbole, is that how you pronounce that? I don't read. No. I think you know that. But I did get the link to the book that you sent me. Thank you very much. So I will look at that. But it's Yeah, I get so tired of seeing people just be reactionary,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's frustrating and mm-hmm. it's exhausting.
Right.
Exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people that have it, I think the people that have it the best mm-hmm. right now are the ones that aren't saying anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, because it is so easy to get spun up in all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, so easy to get spun up. And, you know, or as the left likes to say, I'm triggered. I'm triggered.
I can't say I'm too surprised that this is happening now, because last year I noticed, I want to say maybe around November, December of last year, I started noticing that most of the films that were coming out all related somewhere around like class struggles, you know, class structure.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, you had your film like Parasite, which won the Oscars. Mm-hmm. You know, Ready or Not. Within Ready or Not, yes. Ready or Not. Joker, which was like one of the biggest ones of last year. You know, sure. Which the film ended with, you know, everybody
burn it down.
Their mom.
Burn it down.
Trying to burn down the city. Kill the rich. You know. Yeah. So to see, you know, where things are just maybe 6 months later from those movies, you know, I'm looking back and forth like, they were, you know, just planted the seed.
Yeah, it's probably been happening before that.
Right.
You know, it's been happening. It's been a slow seeping effect over mm-hmm. years.
Right. You could go as far as, you know, maybe, when was that, the last Dark Knight movie came out? Maybe 2000 and...
I can't remember
where after breakfast yesterday. But I remember somebody made a meme out of that film, because it was like, hey, it started with a bat, then people had to start wearing masks, and then, you know, people start rioting in the streets. I was like,
that's logic. You know, it's like all those conspiracy theories that have a modicum of truth,
uh-huh.
but then they get blown.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's like, but then people start believing it.
Right, because that's all they need.
No, you didn't see the secret 9/11 file. I was like, what not secret
9/11 file?
Did you read the report afterwards from Congress? Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Maybe. Give me a break. And they go, just like Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Right.
You know, people losing their minds about what actually happened. And I go, did you read the report? Did you actually go to the Senate page and read the report?
Mm-hmm.
It was horrendous.
Right.
You know, it was like a 400-800 page report. And you don't have to read it all.
Mm-hmm.
Read the first 100 pages.
Right.
That'll tell you everything right there. But anyway, I digress.
But yeah, I'm telling you, like, I was watching this footage. This is during when all the rioting and looting started. You know, things have calmed down since then. But, you know, there were people out in actual Joker outfits, you know, dancing like they're in the film as things were, you know, burning down or people breaking. And I'm just like, they're having way too much fun out there.
Think of all the people that have been wearing the V for Vendetta masks
right.
for years.
That's right.
You know, you got to believe that some of the seeping started at that time.
Right.
Whenever that came out.
That was like 2006, I believe. Yeah. I was like 16 when that film came out.
So,
and when I was young, I had no clue what the whole idea was. You know, I'm just like, oh, comic book movie. Yeah, cool. Fight scene. The guys who made The Matrix did it. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, then you get older, then, you know.
It was like, oh, wait, whoa.
Right?
Whoa,
like,
wait,
oh, minute, what are you guys preaching?
Wait a minute. Yeah, exactly. It's like, propaganda.
Right.
It goes right back to what we were talking about.
Right.
You know, it's like propaganda. Right up there with Disney. But it's the, I don't know. What the hell point were you trying to make?
The thing I'm trying to understand is, you know, growing up, you know, we have this idea. I can speak of myself. You have this idea of like, okay, this is what adulthood would look like. You know, this is what growing mm-hmm. up in America would look like. Now, granted, of course, there's, you know, certain things wrong in certain places. You know, you got, you know, people with the wrong mindset and powerful positions. You know, that
of course.
That's a granted. But, you know,
bad apples everywhere.
Right. But, you know, one thing I'm having a hard time understanding, why would we, you know, pretty much get rid of everything? You know what I mean? Like, I can't understand, like, not everything here is tarnished, you know? Right. But they're exactly. treating it like, oh, there's nothing here. There's nothing sacred. Just get rid of it all.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
That kind of thing. yes, that's an old term, I get it.
Right.
But it's still effective. Still effective. It's... Personally, I think it's because people don't want to do the hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those kinds of reforms, they are hard decisions, mm-hmm. you know. And for people, it's just easier for people to jump on a bandwagon. Mm-hmm. It's easier for people not to have to go and research stuff.
Right.
It's easier for people to say, no, you know, my boy said that the A, B, or C was true, so I'm right with him. You know, right. I'm right with him, having no clue what his boy is talking about. People don't, they just don't want to do the hard steps,
mm-hmm.
you know, educating yourself.
Right.
And educating yourself in reality, okay? Mm-hmm. There are some, as you know, there is some, you know, stuff out there that just, you know, as we talk about Wikipedia, you know, that's not your resource, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, Wikipedia, I would say, it's a starting point. It's not the end game of doing mm-hmm. your research. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a friend of mine who dated this girl, and, you know, every once in a while they had to go out to the actual, like, watch the kid. And around the time, you know, I would try to find ways to educate her, because my mom wasn't like, you know, like, oh, read this, watch that, da da da.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would try to, like, hey, let's try to read this book. Let's just, and it would almost be like she was in, like, physical pain trying to learn. And seeing her go through that made me start thinking about all the adults that I know when I try to get them to read, how yeah. they react. I'm like, yeah. wow, this starts off early.
Oh, yeah, man.
It starts off really, yeah. really early. Yeah.
Well, this is the, now I'm going to sound a little conspiracy theory here, but but it's you can back it up if you actually, you know, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the seeping of the progressive left's mentality and orthodoxy into the education system.
Mm-hmm.
Started in the universities, but it didn't stop there.
Right.
Over the course of decades, mm-hmm. they are now in the public schools.
Right.
Okay. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are topics that come up that become major topics,
mm-hmm.
like whether or not someone is a man or a woman,
yeah, or definitely a boy, have that or boy or girl.
In school.
Right.
I believe that a child
mm-hmm.
is not developed enough to make those kind of decisions.
Right.
And as a parent, being a parent, that's not a decision you make for them.
Right.
Whatever they tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, I don't remember what show it was. I remember watching some show, and there's a father and son. They're talking about how he had gotten into trouble,
mm-hmm.
okay, in school. And then he started spouting off this stuff about, well, I feel like I was being wronged, and I stood up for myself because, you know, as us, and they were African-American,
okay.
and it was like, but, and for us, it was, you know, I felt that I was being oppressed or a struggle, and I'm not paraphrasing it well. But anyway, there was a pause.
Uh-huh.
There was a pause, and the father looked at him and go, "What kind of crap is that? you lost your mind, you know?" And
uh-huh.
and I mean, that's a snippet of just to explain that just because your kid comes up with something doesn't mean it's right mm-hmm. or that you should support it.
Right.
You know, if they come to you and say, hey, not even tell you,
mm-hmm.
They come up like you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, look, you didn't ask for it, uh-huh. but all of a sudden your parents are giving you videos
right.
Of like how to make videos,
right?
And then you just grab hold of that and ran with it, mm-hmm. okay? Okay,
right.
All right? That's an organically perpetuated learning,
right.
okay? Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But for a child to come to a parent
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, I really like dresses and I feel like I'm a girl. Okay. I'm not going to say no to that.
Right.
Okay. I'm not, as the parent, mm-hmm. if I had a child that came to me and said that, I'm going to support the kid, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to go overboard.
Right.
I'm not going to say, hey, it's okay for you to dress up. Hey, it's okay to change your name.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's okay to go to school like this.
Right, change your whole identity.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? Number one, there. Oh,
I've heard people that literally have discussions of like, oh, we're about to have a kid. Like, oh, do you know what it is yet? They're like, oh, we haven't decided the sex yet. Like,
exactly. Wait,
huh? How is the kid going to decide its own sex?
But this, you know, let's just pull this all together, what mm-hmm. we were talking about before. This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the progressive less seeping,
mm-hmm.
seeping into our education system
right.
to where there are no norms anymore, mm-hmm. you know, and the norms that they want to propose don't work,
right?
As we see,
mm-hmm.
And it's sad. It's so sad, and it makes it so much more difficult for mm-hmm. teachers.
Right.
Number one, and that's, you know, teachers. That's a whole other thing,
right?
And there are, you know, my experience is that there are teachers that shouldn't be teachers,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way they are.
Right.
They decided on getting into education for a different reason than what a good teacher typically does.
Right.
But you know, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, that's a
whole. I mean, that's like, you know,
I'm big on, you know,
don't get me there. Don't
people
me there.
Will do what they want, you know, but it's just like, don't force them on everybody. You know.
No, exactly, you know? And don't try to change society
mm-hmm.
based off of that.
Right.
And because in the big scheme of things,
mm-hmm.
it's about, you know, 1/100th
mm-hmm.
of everything else that's going on.
Right.
And another thing that the progressive left does is mm-hmm. that they want you to focus on the extremes.
Right.
Okay. And they will come up with all the different extremes, like, we need to be equal. We mm-hmm. need to... Really? Now, you're an American before you're anything.
Right.
Okay. If you're born here, or you migrated here, if you, you know, came through legally and did all your paperwork, you're an American, no problem. You're an American before you're anything else.
Right.
When we're talking about society,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an individual, that's different.
Right.
Okay. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your own different identity. I get that, okay? But before you're anything else,
American first.
You're an American. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of people that did a lot of things, maybe even they're giving their life,
mm-hmm.
to give you the freedoms that you have now.
Right.
So you may want to check yourself.
Check the
before, you know, before, not even. No, it's like, you know, it's my privilege that I have to check, you know, time and again. They don't have any privilege.
Right.
They won't admit to having a privilege,
mm-hmm.
but I think you and I both can agree that, you know, being an American citizen
mm-hmm.
has its issues. Would you really want to be anywhere else?
No, I've literally traveled the world and I've seen what the other half looks like, and I'm just like, you know, I still prefer back home. You know, right.
No, exactly.
And people be like, but you can do this here, you can do that here. I'm like, yeah, but then you can do all the other stuff too. That's the problem. Like, you gotta.
Yeah, how many times has your government changed?
Nah. Like, and I think what it is because people haven't witnessed that type of life before. Like I told you,
when
I was in Haiti, you know, there was a moment where the National Guard came in and like every day I'm seeing tanks go down the block. I'm seeing, you know, these helicopters fly over. Like, it's like I'm in the middle of a war film.
Yeah, it's social media has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Getting away from basic manners,
mm-hmm.
I think, was really the beginning of a lot of this.
Right.
You know, when I, you know, when I was growing up, you know, it was about, I mean, standard stuff that you would just, you know, you would always address your elders as mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. or
right.
Miss.
Mm-hmm.
You would always open doors for females.
Mm-hmm.
You would always say yes or no, sir, ma'am, whatever.
Yes, ma'am, no. Yeah,
mm-hmm. No, ma'am. Those were standard things.
Right.
You didn't deviate from
mm-hmm.
that. Because if you deviated from it, you were seen as someone who was not disciplined.
Right.
Someone who did not respect others.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is basically what it was about.
Right.
You know, I think you turned me on to that movie, Blast from the Past,
right?
And there was a scene in there that I completely had forgotten about, which was not the scene, but the content of the scene was the reason that gentlemen are, or you treat people like a gentleman or a lady, is out of respect,
right?
Period.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anything more than that,
right?
Okay, it's just, it's a sign that you would respect that person and that you expect that person to respect you.
Right.
And we have gotten so far
from that.
I mean, I remember when I was like in my 20s and I would, I think it was in college, and I would go and I would open doors for people, for the ladies I might be dating.
And you wouldn't even think nothing of it. It's just,
No, exactly. I mean, there were so many. I forget how many times I had to do that.
No. But it was almost like second nature.
Yeah, no, right, exactly. Yeah. Second nature is a dog. You know, that's like, I was just like that.
Right.
No, but you know, when I would meet their parents, you know, it was always Mr., Mrs., you know, whatever. Always the respect.
Right.
Always respect. Because the respect means that you have respect for yourself, but you also have respect for the other person.
Right.
But that you also expect it.
Right.
From others.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it was the whole, you know, like the premise of that particular movie was showing what the old school values were.
Right.
You know, and they mattered. They mattered.
Right.
And since we've gotten so far away from that, we see when you don't have them, what happens.
So for the audience who's never heard of the film Blast from the Past, the film stars Brandon Fraser and Alicia Silverstone. It's from, I believe, 1999. And in the film, Christopher Walken and his wife, they believe there was a nuclear attack on America, and he'd been building this underground bunker for years. So a helicopter crashes on their property, and they believe, oh, this is it. It's happening.
In 1962.
And then they locked themselves down there for 30 years, right? 30 years.
35 years. And it was a fallout shelter, not a bomb shelter. Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah, it was a fallout
shelter. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
And funny. They raised their child with basically the, you know, the mentality, the mindset of, you know, how people work.
Early 1960s.
Right. And so when he, you know, gets out of there, I believe it's 1999 in the film, when he first, you know, come to, you know, to society for the first time. Right. And this is peak 90s. Like, this is 90s to the T. So it's like, you know, punk rock, hip hop. You know, it's like, it's a whole different world. Yeah. But he still has, you know, the happy-go-lucky 1960s mentality. Like, you know, you see the black person for the first time, oh my, a Negro! And he gets so excited. Like, oh, it's so pleasure to meet you!
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they're all looking at him like,
like, what's up with this guy? He's this guy!
Yeah.
And growing up, for me, you know, especially, you know, as a kid in the 90s, I was born in 1990, most of the films around that time were people, you know, late 80s, early 90s, most of the filmmakers were raised around the 60s and 70s and were now making films about that era, you know, you're Back to the Future, you know, you're like the Pleasantville, Blast in the Past.
Yep.
So I grew up thinking like, all right, this is the norm. This is, you know, it was the norm, but I'm thinking this is how things are going to continue to be.
That was your indoctrination.
Yes, yes. Now, mind you, being a product of the 90s, you know, I'm going to school and I'm the only one going, oh, gee whiz, golly. And everyone looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
you know,
and especially in this city.
Oh, yeah. Especially, because they're like, yo, did
you like, son, what's wrong with you?
People really ask me, like, are you from a smaller town or something? I'm like, no, I'm right here in Queens. Like, what is going on over there in Queens? You don't sound like nobody from Queens. Yeah,
they're all looking at you going, you spent a lot of time alone, don't
you? Exactly. They're like, bruh, you need to get some new friends, man, or something. Like, what are you doing over there? You know, but as I was coming up, I kept those values because that's, you know, it felt right. It felt right. There was nothing. Yeah. And then, you know, I was just talking to other people, and, you know, people would get so surprised, like, wow. You know, for a guy your age, it's shocking to even hear you say certain things, to behave a certain way.
And I'm sure that your friend's parents were like,
oh, they're like, follow this guy. Yeah,
where's Miles? You know that's happening. They're at home, you're not around, and they're looking at you, looking at the friend of yours, going, wait a minute, where's Miles? Where's Miles? Did you call Miles? Can he come over? Can Miles come over? Come on.
I've had that a lot where friends will call me up like, hey, my mom wants you to come over because she thinks you would be a good influence on me. And it was funny because sometimes it would be the exact opposite. Like, all right, we're going to film a bank robbery today, so let's go.
So they're like, he's such a kind gentleman, but at the same time, he's a millennial. Yeah, exactly. You know, the bridge within there. You know, and, you know, to this day, you know, I'm still, you know, following those values, but, you know, every day I see, you know, the world basically just throw them away, like overnight.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was growing up in the church, you know, before YouTube was a thing and conspiracy theories were everywhere, there used to be like certain like elders and pastors that would come with these little documentaries, you know, like they sold for rock and roll, or, you know, you know, they were basically like, oh, you know, the music, the film that's coming out, the TV show, they're affecting the youth, you know, they're convincing them, you know, violence and drugs and crime and this and that. And
well, that's been going on for a very long time since TV was developed.
Right.
I mean, they were saying the exact same things in the 50s.
Right.
You know, about, you know, what did they say about weed?
Reefer Madness?
Yes, Reefer Madness. Have you ever watched that?
Yes, I have. Oh, it's insane.
Oh, my God.
What they were teaching.
It was like, even for me, that was like, you know, that was like too far. Hey, Mike. Yeah, even for me, it was just like, what?
Right.
When I saw it, and I saw it like in high school.
Right. Okay, well, it was brand new.
Yeah, no, it was propaganda, completely propaganda.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I'm going to put the fear of God in you. Look what happens to these people.
That's what they were trying to do.
Well, and then, fast forward, what was the next message? The next message was, it's a gateway drug.
Right.
You know, it's a gateway drug before before you go to all the hard stuff.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, that's definitely not true at all.
And, of course, you know, when they started saying that, I was at an age where, like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, yeah, oh, absolutely. And that's just like, you know, it's bad. It's bad. But I was a reefer head in college. Okay?
You had no tendency to want to break into anybody's car.
You know, I was, like, at the end of the 70s and the early 80s. You know, I was a
product of the time.
Yeah, I just... For the first couple of years, you see, when I grew up, you know, I was Boy Scout,
right?
Okay, I was, you know, I was the blonde, blue eyed, all American kid,
right?
And so, it was just stepping out of that image was never an option,
right? Okay? Like you're like one of the guys from the Ron Howard and Happy Days,
yes, exactly, pretty close. Even though deep down, you know, the darkness was coming over,
right.
But the
well, I mean, what I thought,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh God, yeah. So, you know, so when I was in high school, it was like I didn't drink like during the season.
Right.
You know, I didn't really have a drink until I was like 16.
Right.
And then it was, you know, and I went all through high school like that, and I got to college, and I was still thinking that way.
Right.
And then all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I'm watching guys that I was playing football with at the time in college. The night before a game, they were out getting drunk, taking lewds. I'm like, what? How is it? And these guys were all Americans.
Right.
Okay. How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was just this whole, you know, my whole mind just went, wow.
Right.
You know, you're the Boy Scout image of how I believed everybody was turned out to be not even close to correct. Not even close. But again, you know, the country boy in me.
That was a rude awakening.
Yeah, I definitely went down the rabbit hole for that one. I was like, no, I'll be fine. I almost flunked out my first semester.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was on academic probation after my first semester.
Jeez.
I was like, you know, I may need to pull the reins back a little bit. You know, so I actually started going to class, and I started to learn what it was like to take notes, you know, kind of be responsible.
Right.
I think that was one of my my early memories of college, of becoming responsible.
Right.
That second semester I was there. So, yeah. But I, you know, I ended up finishing in time.
Right.
How, I'm not, to this day, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, it ended up that way. But these, the values that have changed, I think, and look, I'm not trying to say that everything that was done before was right.
Right.
What I'm saying is that a lot of what came before worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about personal responsibility. It was about hard work. It was about, you know, being accountable.
Right.
You know, those are good, strong, basic values.
Right.
Okay. Period.
Now it's not cool. It's square.
No, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the 60s, and it all became, you know, about the individual, and it all became about, you know, feminism, and, you know, we want to be equal, and, you know, all that stuff that was coming out of that. And it just doesn't work.
Right.
And I think we've proven that over the course of, I don't know how many times, or how many decades, that it just doesn't work.
Right.
I try to stay away from the feminism movement, because it's a non-winnable argument.
Yeah, there's no winning.
Especially when you're married. definitely a non-winnable argument. But it is it is being proven over and over and over again that, you know, men and women are different. Shock.
Right.
Okay. there are nations. Norway. I'm just going to throw that one out there.
Okay.
That are an egalitarian type of society.
Right.
And basically, they try to make everything even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything.
Right.
You know, so the choices that you have as a man or a woman are almost exactly the same.
Right.
But here's what they've learned over time, is if you allow men and women to naturally make decisions on their own about what to do with their lives, men will always focus on things, and women will always focus on people and emotions. Period.
Right.
And what they found is that men typically would go into fields that are like engineering. Okay. Women typically would go into fields that are more nurturing, like nursing. And those are just two examples, but it was significant. Now, if you have a woman who really wants to be a CEO of a company, they have that opportunity there.
Right.
You know, that's there. But they are so far out of the norm. You know, people want to pay more attention to the extremes than they do want to pay attention to the majority of the people.
Right.
And I think those opportunities are great. And I think our country allows for that to happen.
Right.
If that is where you want to go.
Right.
Is it more difficult as a woman to be, I don't know, a cop? Yes. Okay. Is it more difficult for a woman to be in a predominantly male corporate office? Yes. However, in the natural orders of things, you will have more men there. That doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity.
Right.
That just means it's going to be harder for you. Period. And then people just want to start. People want to start saying to themselves, "Well, you know, that means I'm being oppressed." No, it just means you have to work harder.
Right.
That's what that means.
I'm starting to realize a lot of people miss out on opportunities because they stay focused on I'm oppressed, so I don't have that opportunity. And the opportunity is right there for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And they want to focus on the easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to say that.
Right.
You know, it's easy to say, well, I just, you know, I have no shot. You know, there's no way I can get there.
They didn't just give it to me. I have no way to getting it.
You know, there was about a half a second where I wanted to be a pro football player. About halfway through my college career, I knew there was no way I was going to be a pro player. You know, I was too slow.
Right.
You know, my 40 time was too slow.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the one thing in football that I had is I was quick. You know, and being a lineman, that was important. But everything else, you know, everything that goes into it, you know, even I knew that even if I operated at the very highest level that I could before drugs, I still wouldn't make that cut. And then even after taking drugs, I may have gotten in the door. Okay. Maybe I got in the door, but I wouldn't have lasted. So, why, you know, for me, it just, you know, the return on investment didn't seem
It didn't make any sense. I had something similar with my childhood. I remember I told you that when I was a child, we didn't have Saturday morning cartoons. My mom was like, you have to have some type of activity you have to do when you're not in school. So, you know, we had basketball, we had played tennis, you know, we did, you know, drums, piano, dance, karate, you know.
Tennis.
Yes, I played tennis for 3 years.
Tennis.
That's what I was trying to say last time.
I'm sorry, man. You're black. You don't play tennis. Come on, man. Really?
Yeah, say that to Serena. Serena Venus, you know. And trust me, you heard those names all day in tennis class. That's all you hear all day.
Wow.
You know, and that's what, remember what we were trying to talk to you about trophies? You know, they always gave the trophies to every. And this is why I knew that there was something wrong here. Because I really didn't want to be there at all. They would literally have to force, which it was basketball, it was tennis. I didn't want to play. They always had to force me in there, like, get in there. I'm like, oh, fine. So the ball's going one way. I'm slowly walking to the other side of the court, going after it, like, fine, fine. You know, I just want to run off the Boy Scouts and go, you know, tennis and stuff.
Yeah,
but,
you're the kid that could get hurt.
Right.
He's like, low, low, low. And then I'll get knocked by a ball.
So around, I want to say from 2000 to 2003. I'm playing tennis, and every year they give me a trophy. And I'm sitting here like, but I didn't do anything. I played and learned the backhand, the forehand, but it's not like I was doing tournaments or anything, but they always gave me a trophy. And I'm just like, see, there's something wrong here. You got me giving me confidence that I can do something that I really don't want to do. And you're convincing me you could be the next Serena and Venus. I'm like, but I don't want to be the next Serena and Venus. You know?
Well,
I mean, you could have.
Well, you know. Not really. You're a man.
Could have been done, but, you know. But, my, you know, even my mom at one point, she was, you know, she was putting me, like, in the basketball class. She was like, you're going to, one of these things is going to work out for you, you know. Not realizing I was already on the path to making films, you know. Like, well, I'm like, my,
since you were four.
Right. You know, like, come on, Ma, you know this. You know, but she was like, no, you got
to
get
really, you can't really explain that to a parent when you're four. Or 8 or 10
Then it wasn't until at least maybe 12, 13, 14 that she started even paying attention. Like, oh, you really, you know how to work your camera.
Well, it takes about 10 years. You know, I mean, you know, a parent seeing something for like 10 years, you know, regardless, and believe me, as you get older, it doesn't change.
No, it doesn't. It wasn't until other people was telling my mom about my work that she started to actually refer to me as the filmmaker.
Exactly.
It was years. It was years. Before, it was just me playing, you know, make-believe with my friends on camera for years until, you know, I'm in school and she's getting phone calls for auditions. Like, hey, I want to come audition for a film. She's like, what? He's 16. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I love your mom. I don't know your mom, but I love your mom. I mean, that because I completely relate with that. You know, I used to, like when I would call from college, sometimes nobody would answer the phone.
Right.
You know, and this is... We had answering machines.
Right.
Okay. Nobody answered the phone.
Right.
And they wouldn't get an answer machine.
Right.
I'm like, you know, help me. Help me help you.
Right.
Okay. Really. I mean, just meet me halfway. Yeah, I know. And that was a continual thing. Then it was voicemail. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
Right.
Then it was cell phones and all this stuff. But anyway.
Well, what I was saying with, you know, with the you know, I'm the trophy generation. And, you know, a lot of people in my generation, you know, they believe we can do anything we put our mind to, even if you're not built that way. We're just like, no, I can do it. You know, I got all these trophies. You see all my trophies? This means I can do it all. And it's not realistic.
I can be a famous athlete if I want
if it. If I want it, I can do it. And, you know,
we have really done a disservice to a whole generation.
Mm-hmm.
A real disservice. Because... you're now seeing the results of that. You've thrown these, you know, kids into real life where they, you know, they're out of school, however long it took them to get out of school, because they were probably too scared to get out of school.
Right.
And then get to the point where you have to determine what to do with your life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they get, you know, they go to a job,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're at this job, and all of a sudden they're looking at the guy, goes, well, what do you mean I have to do this?
Right.
You know,
that's not my job description.
Yeah. What do you mean that I have to, you know, go home at this particular time? Like, why can't I come in at, you know, 9 instead of 8?
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of it's not their fault.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely my generation. You know, I've different workforce, you know, whether I was at the bookstore, where I was working at FedEx, I've seen people who literally, you know, were like, I can't be doing this. I'm my own boss. And, you know, they leave and then nothing happens for them. It's like, okay, you left the job, so what you gonna do now? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because they have all the options in the world of what they can be. They can't make up their mind what they should be.
Yeah, because they don't self-reflect.
Right.
And that's, for me, I think that's everything.
Right.
You know, it's like I told my daughter, man, when she was very, very young, mm-hmm. I said, the one thing that you need to have is knowing yourself.
Right.
Self-reflection. Understanding who you are, because at the end of the day, regardless of what happens to you, you will have that, and you will always be that.
Right.
So it's very important for you at a very early age. I don't remember. I think she was 10.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I was talking to her like that. But I always repeated it, mm-hmm. always.
Right.
And I repeated it right up until last week. You know. You know, she's 25 now. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's important.
Right. Yeah,
those are the important things.
Right. So, people, as always, we're here to tell you, be the change you want to see in the world.
Be the change.
Yeah.
And T-shirts to come. Have a good day.
See you later, guys.